You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Donkey Sports Book, the only more favorite sports book, also
in English,
America's top-rated sports book.
Trying to make money here.
All right, I'm going to have to do more of an American accent. Speaking of America, our top athletes are over in Tokyo, Japan, competing for gold. DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer just for our listeners. It says my, but there's two of us. Listen to this. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. Even a bronze, which I call dirty gold. That's 100-1 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or dirty gold this week. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often, and that's because the Olympics are only like every 2 years. Because, you know. But anyway, so sign up DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all the action.
I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It's easy to navigate. There's plenty of instructions for new bettors, nearly limitless ways to get in and score! My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you're gonna too! Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal. That's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/Sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Everybody, welcome to episode 68, season 2 of Red Wings Raid, hosted by the Brothers of Discussion, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network, where tirades and impassioned pleas for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today we'll be talking the arbitration situation with Adam Ernie and Jakub Vrána. We'll talk about Tyler Bertuzzi getting his new contract. We will bid a fond farewell to beloved former Red Wing, Darren Helm. And looks like we have a little bit of NHL news to take care of with Jack Eichel's agents having a little bit of fun. So we'll take a look at that as well. Where are we? Mike, we have a couple of players headed to arbitration. That to be Jakub Vrána and Adam Ernie. A lot of people freaking out on Twitter. I'd say the first thing to do here, folks, is take a deep breath. I shared a good song for everyone to listen to, which is Colin Hay's Overkill, the song basically is about one who might be overthinking situations that just keeps him awake all night. Demons keep coming back and flittering through his brain kind of thing. Just can't put him away. But folks, let me tell you, you are giving yourself a sleepless night for no good reason.
Somebody's been firing up the Scrubs DVDs, I think, huh? Is that you over there, Matt? A little Colin Hayes action?
I have never pushed that song far away from my heart. Whether it be in the middle of a Scrubs binge or not, Colin Hay is one of the great underrated songwriters of our time.
I called him Colin Hayes. I apologize. So he's not related to Isaac Hayes. Not that we know of.
The gulp I just had that nobody got to hear or feel was me going, oh, did I just get his name wrong? As I dub him one of the most underrated songwriters. How appropriate would it be if we got his name wrong?
You were pulling up Colin Hayes Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'll do a quick Wikipedia search. The best way to start this conversation is straight from Evolving Hockey. If you guys are not subscribed or patrons of said website, You are truly missing out. We do it most of the time through the middle of the season as we laugh away different trade rumors and things like that. Here we are going to use their contract projection tool. And the reason being for Verona and Ernie is really I want to come back to what this tool projected Bertuzzi to be. So it was pretty far off when we were talking about Tyler Bertuzzi heading to arbitration last year. And I'm sitting here telling you to go check these boys out. There's a reason that their contract projections came at what they were. Part of the reason, of course, is we now live in what's dubbed the dead cap era. So that might be why they were so far off. Another reason is Tyler kind of got underpaid. So basically what these projected numbers are taking into consideration is play, not just from the past season, because you could tell from Adam Ernie's total here, but the past few seasons. And they're basing it off of the age of the player, the relationship with their current team, moving to a different team. Is this a restricted free agent contract? All of those things come into play. And this is what it pooped out for the two of them, again, from Evolving Hockey. And again, bringing this up because I want to take it back to the Tyler Bertuzzi conversation. But for anybody who's not watching on YouTube, where you get to see our wonderful copy and paste graphics from Evolving Hockey, Jakub Vrana, predicted cap hit, $5.5 million. Adam Ernie with his monster year still coming in at the 1.675. So 1,675 to round that sucker off. Mike, honestly, neither one of these numbers are going to hurt. And especially if this goes, like, if we don't get a contract settled and this does go to a hearing and there's going to be a middleman to make a decision on these contracts, these are going to be 1 year contracts. So We're gonna be okay. Like, if both of these numbers popped up, we'd be fine. If they popped up with an extra million, also, mind you, everyone, we'd also be pretty gosh darn fine with all the cap room we have. And with all that flexibility and a contract number coming in extremely low, more flexibility in case these guys poop the bed this upcoming season. So as we played this game last year, Mike, the two of us watched and waited to hear... I guess we played this game too with Anthony Mantha's contract, but we saw these predicted numbers. We waited and we hoped that the players would get paid for the money they've earned with their play over the past year, putting their body on the line. These boys deserve it. Now, if you're looking at this game and you're hoping that Verona and Ernie get paid, I would say in the history, if you want to look at the Iserplan history, or if you just want to look at the history of arbitration hearings, it's not going to necessarily go the player's way. If you're a Red Wings fan and you want to make sure that these guys, you know, Yzerman really sticks it to these guys and they get underpaid, you're going to be happy because they're more than likely going to get underpaid.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of historical archived data that supports the system is not super great for the players. They should probably just, you know, look into maybe a 2-year deal and get their agent in the negotiating room instead of bringing in this person who's going to really knock that AAV number down quite a bit. It's just what kind of made me laugh is that Verona, it looks like he probably, you know, thinks he's around 7 and the Wings probably are trying to lowball him at, you know, 4.5 or 5. So this, you know, middleman's going to come in and probably lean a little bit more towards what the team thinks.
Yeah.
And Verona's basically going to be on a prove it deal. And it looks like Ernie, you know, there are prove it deals, and it looks like he tried to prove it last season, and he's on a prove it to us again. He's on a prove it to us again deal. So they don't really believe this 1 year. I think they are afraid this is an apparition, but yeah, I'm sure Ernie's, you know, happy to step up and prove that this wasn't a 1-year fluke that he can be counted on that stat sheet for the Red Wings. So no surprise there what the guesses are. You know, a little bit under 6 for Verona, a little bit under 2 for Ernie. I honestly did think that was a little bit low. I thought he would end up, you know, getting at least, we haven't seen the number yet. You know, this is just that estimate. But under 2 does surprise me a little bit. But I don't really see the panic. This is just kind of, you know, NHL rigmarole at this point. So I'm I'm not stunned that the two of them went to arbitration, and just pumped to see how it turns out and see what number they get.
Yeah, so if just to kind of turn back the clock a year, it was this number from Tyler was projected by Evolving Hockey at 5.299. This is the, you know, everybody who was writing a blog about what was going to happen with Tyler was coming to this number from Evolving Hockey. And whether or not he stuck to it, you either brought this number up or you waited till the contract came out and you're like, yeah, Tyler wasn't going to get that number. Anywhoozles, the game we're playing here, though, not really a game, is just kind of comparing what those numbers popped up with and the fact that Tyler ended up getting paid $3.5 million, which just running that number is about 66% of this number. So am I sitting here saying, everybody, get out your calculators. Do 66% of those two numbers I showed you, and then we'll be good. We'll know what's going on. No, the game I'm playing right now is just to say that Yzerman is prepared. Yzerman has all the numbers that these players are projected at. And I think a lot of this is going to go into it's going to be favorable for Detroit at the end of the day. It's going to be my best guess. I don't think Verana is going to have the information available to make the to make that play of like, I deserve, you know, like we just showed around the 5.5 number, the 5.5 that he deserves around 7. It's going to be very tough to justify because these Evolving Hockey numbers actually make that justification that he deserves 5.5. So if the analytics are out there and are dubbing it a 5.5 contract coming up, and Yzerman comes in with some more Yzerplaning, and I mean, the confidence and swagger that gets guys to just roll over for him, I'm prepared to see something under that. I'm prepared to see something at 5 or a little bit less. Here's the best point. They're still able to sign between now and arbitration at the end of August when arbitration is. So, of course, something could pop up, but if this does go to arbitration, that's exactly what we're talking about here, is these guys are going to probably get hit like Tyler did the last season. So, Like we said, Tristan, the game we were playing is if that goes to arbitration, that's where these contracts are probably headed in the below what Evolving Hockey is predicting for these boys. And I think as Mike just put a minute ago, it's in these guys' best interest to get something played out before arbitration comes because Stevie's probably going to win. All right, yeah. Mike, we had some other Tyler Bertuzzi news. Of course, let me pop this sucker up here. Why is that not popping up?
There we go.
Oh, here we go. Tristan, oh, thank you so much, my man. Appreciate you saying that. And always, if anybody, you know, Tristan, I appreciate you throwing that in there because that was something I think I neglected to throw out there was to make sure I keep reminding everybody about those signings that can happen. But, of course, I think, like you said, the end of August is when the arbitration hearings are. You know, I did have that date written down around here somewhere. The 20th is what comes to mind, but I'm probably wrong. But somewhere at the end of August, you guys will be able to just see that on Twitter somewhere. But yeah. We also had Tyler Bertuzzi signing, Mike. I thought I'd steal from Cap Friendly here and make a nice little graphic with Tyler's beautiful face. The 4.75 AAV. The base salary for the first year for Tyler's contract, $4.25 million, and moving up to $5.25 million in that second year. But like we just said, the $9.5 million over 2 years, so the $4.75 million for the next couple years for Tyler. Now, if we go back to what Evolving Hockey projected a year ago, Tyler's finally sniffing that number. He's getting pretty close to it. Still not quite there. Yeah. It was still at 5.2. I'm sorry. Yeah, 5.299. So even in that second year of this contract, he's at 5.25. So Tyler's going to have a word with his agent and remind him that Evolving Hockey's out there to help him make his stance for where those contract numbers should be. But all joking aside, Mike, Tyler's locked in a very, very movable contract for a former All-Star. For the gritty guy that every Toronto Maple Leaf is drooling over right now that they want to see on their team. I'm every Toronto Maple Leaf fan. Here we are, Mike. I think that those are the words that people are afraid to think about. But ultimately, we locked in our man. Mike, we're going to get our big line now. Well, I guess we'll cross our fingers that we're going to see Bertuzzi and Suter and Fabbri lace it up together so we can have our Guelph Storm line. I'd like to call them the Red Storm, if that's okay by everyone. Please throw out your nicknames for that line. But yeah, we're going to get our line, and this contract could be traded tomorrow, and it'll be super easy to move because this is a very reasonable contract.
The contract like this is where I feel like there's a lot of flaws in that arbitration system, right? Bertuzzi somehow got, you know, what was the math there? A 33% raise from what he was doing the previous season, and he missed most of the year. So this is clearly just, we're projecting, we think you're going to score more and be a first or second line center. And we think you're going to be healthy enough to earn a raise, which, you know, we know we didn't quite see that last year. He's not been the healthiest player of all time. Meanwhile, Adam Ernie has a career year. And that is still not worth $2 million a year, which is, I think you and I being able to take a look at those projections, what was it, Evolving Hockey?
Yeah.
And agree, yeah, this is probably what is going to come out of arbitration. And for us to feel like we are so experienced with those numbers, we know the players are going to get screwed. Should the question be then, is this a good system? Where I'm not saying that Adam Ernie should be making $5 or $6 million a year, but it's like, what do you got to do to, you know, fix this discrepancy where we're, I know Bert didn't go to arbitration, but I'm just saying the way that those figures compare, that's where it seems like there's a flaw in that, in the way they set that up for the players.
Well, I mean, that's where, you know, we had on like Jay Fresh on our episode, and I may have caught him off guard because you bring on an analytics guy. And what I immediately started asking him about was eyeball tests. And I we actually started the conversation. If anybody wants to go back to that, back and forth we had, it was actually, we agreed on a lot of points where I said, analytics cannot tell the whole story. It absolutely never can, because things like this happen. And we know what Adam Ernie is supposed to be. We know what this player is, you know, what we're paying him to do. And you know, if he throws in a few more goals, I don't think anybody's looking at Ernie's season last year and thinking, wow, I can't believe we're going to get this for the next couple of years. So that's where you have to separate the analytics and the eyeball test. And you have to be, I mean, there's a point of realization. There's a point maybe realism I want to throw out there, not realization. And there's a point for what you ask these guys to do, what they're expected to do. And that's what you're going to pay them to do. And, you know, I hate to say it. I mean, it's almost like, and I'm going to step outside of the zone here of nobody expects Ernie to do what he did last year again, or this past season again. But there's also the idea, like, when you have an employee and you're signing them up, I mean, it's just this is where I always take things out of the hockey world and try and bring them into the real world. When you've got those employees that eventually become like middle management or senior management, there's those moments where they earn that spot. And I think what you're saying is, maybe did Adam Ernie, you know, Adam Ernie his way into a senior management role? Should he be able to come into work for 9 to 5 and stop, you know, doing all the grunt work? I think, you know, that's where Steve Eichmann comes into play, and he makes that decision. I've actually been the victim of those decisions before, where I did just such a great job being the scrub, and I came into work on time. I worked probably harder than everybody else on the floor. So it was like, no, we're not giving you a management position. You're a scrub. You stay a scrub. You help me, the manager, look even better. That's where you sit. So I'm using some pretty gnarly vocabulary here to describe what was my situation. Certainly Adam Ernie is much higher than a scrub, which is why we have our t-shirt Retire 73 available on brothersofdiscussion.com. So where I'm going with this is that you also have to pay the guy for the player you want him to be. There's a reason that this went to arbitration, is probably because Ernie wants to make out with this
if
we want to call it a career year. He wants to get that probably lengthy contract now before it's too late. And that's where, at the start of the show, where we said, this is as good as it gets for Detroit Red Wings fans, because this will be another, and you said it yourself, this ends up being another prove it year for Ernie because of this arbitration.
Prove it again year. Yeah.
Right. And it's probably going to go Stevie's way. But I mean, this conversation goes in so many different directions because Tyler ended up he went to arbitration last year, gets the $3.5 million, and then this year, I mean, after missing like a whole season with back surgery, he gets paid more than that just by regular old contract negotiations. It's a funny thing, right? But I still have to come back to the idea of like you have these guys that, and just to bring it out again out of the hockey world, you have these guys that you want to pay to fill specific roles. And if Yzerman says, I'm going to pay you to fill this specific role, and there's a disagreement there, that's just right. That's the long and short of it.
Right. Yeah. It's at least something to bring up, you know, in poor Ernie's defense, or, you know, a middling, NHL hockey player trying to get a reasonable number based on what he's done the previous season, especially when he's in the negotiating room and he looks at games played from the 2020-2021 season between himself and Bert as Bert's number comes in, and then just slides two documents across the negotiating table, or he might have to hold them up against a Zoom screen. I don't know what they're doing this year, but yeah. Hopefully he can, prove it in his prove it again year and cash in the next season, because it doesn't look like he's going to be doing that this year. Sorry, Ernie. We're rooting for you though, bud. So I know we talked about Verano, we talked about Ernie, we talked about Bert. There was just one other thing. I wasn't sure if you even wanted to jump into this or if you had one more point. Do you want to get into Jack Eichel?
Yeah, we can touch on that for a little bit here. I do want to get on. Tristan let us know, thoughts on signing Josh Williams. Just to go over these stats for anybody, because Tristan threw it out there. You should take a look at this kid's stats. Playing in the WHL for the Edmonton Oil Kings. 64 games in 2019-20. 52 points, 25 goals, 27 assists. And then 22 games this past season, it'd be 17 goals, 13 assists for 30 points. I mean, 6'1", right wing, 190 pounds, shoots right-handed. Gosh darn. I don't know. I definitely want to do more research than popping them up right now. But if this is something where it was... let's see what you can do kind of contract with a lot of flexibility, I'm all for it. I don't know if there has been a prospect contract out there that I would turn down at this point for the Detroit Red Wings. I would come back to one of the other points I did want to make, but I crossed it off our notes, was that right now we have 12 forwards. If we don't include, like, if you go to Cap Friendly's page, we're going to say that Verana and Ernie are going to get signed, right? Still leaves that doesn't leave us any room, because on Cap Friendly's page, they went ahead and said, all right, there's your 12 forwards. And here's the list of guys, Mike, not included in that. Jonathan Berggren, Lucas Raymond, Joseph Foligno, Taro Hirose, if you want to play this game, Chase Pearson, and not playing a game, but Giovanni Smith. So... I'm all for signing that guy. I don't know. Maybe you could tell us more, Tristan, or I'll have to do more research for the next episode. But I'm game for it. And I'm guessing then your probably take on this is he's not coming to an NHL roster, because I don't see any space for it. And of course, where do we send him from there? So I got to give you a shout out, because I like the thought on there. I haven't given him too much of a look, but you don't want to turn down an opportunity to bring in a kid with an over point per game right now in the juniors if you have the opportunity to pick him up.
Yeah, nothing against that for sure. Looks promising based on the stat sheet, but we definitely want to watch some film and stuff like that before. Totally going in on him, but I got to think the priority is they still need a center or two. And maybe that's where we kind of sashay into this. It would be far-fetched, but it's only going to be as far-fetched as it takes for Yzerman to just sit there and twiddle his thumbs while Buffalo's demands start to drop a little bit. But before Buffalo's demands start to drop, Matt, the agent stepped in. And you said you had some pretty juicy quotes for us here. As the trade has still not happened, Eichel is still a Sabre.
Yeah, this is crazy. I'm trying to click on this stupid Twitter window and I can't get the damn thing to open up. So here's Peter Fish and Peter Donatelli representing Jack Eichel.
Pete and Pete, I like it.
Yeah, isn't that cute?
Little old school Nickelodeon reference like that.
Yeah, they go the way that they're starting out here is just the process is not working. As previously stated, we fully anticipated a trade by the start of the NHL free agency period. I mean, just to kind of jump on a couple of these.
what does that even mean? Do they think that a third party is going to come in and negotiate on the Sabres' behalf to trade Eichel? What does that even mean?
So, I mean, here's where it gets juicy.
Pete and Pete are Karen-ing right now. Love it.
The recommendation by Jack's independent neurosurgeon and other spine specialists consulted in the surgery Jack feels most comfortable having in order to correct the herniated disc in his neck is to proceed with an artificial disc replacement surgery. A further point of concern is that our camp was initially under the impression that the Sabre specialist was in agreement with the artificial disc replacement surgery until that was no longer the case. So one of the issues here, and this is the one I should have started with, if he had had that surgery already, which they want to get him moved out of town so that they'll find someone that'll let him have this surgery, which is crazy that the Sabres have this power. And this is another, you know, we're talking about contracts in the NHL. Here's a much worse problem in the NHL is that
you do your own control over your own body,
right? You do your own research for what's best for me. Mike, he was projected to possibly be able to start at the beginning of this season. And the longer they wait, the longer that looks like it's not a thing. So this is not only literally hurting Jack Eichel and his body. This is now going to take possibly a season away from Jack is now the longer they wait to trade him because they're waiting to make a bunch of dough off of this Jack Eichel trade, which, you know, do you really want to blame him if you're going back to a regular business situation? And unfortunately, you know, there are assets that are moved in businesses. These are human beings, which is the major difference here. And the problem with what the Sabres are doing here is they're treating him more like a thing and an asset rather than the human being who would like to be moved. So they're just trying to make as much as they can off this. I mean there's problems all over this. Yeah, go ahead.
Look, Buffalo's trying to get as much as they can for Eichel, and a lot of teams are just kind of waiting for Buffalo to bend a little bit, right? Like, you know, we don't want to give up the entire future, like NHL ready players and first round picks. This commentary does not make that process any easier because now his value is just going down because you have to know that Buffalo is like, now we almost have to trade this guy. Like we can't just twiddle our thumbs and wait until the trade deadline. Now it's getting to a point we're getting pressure to do this. So they're going to be getting, you know, 50 cents on the dollar for an Eichel trade. I understand their want to get out the like medical information and what's going back and forth between, you know, them and Buffalo. But I mean, Buffalo signed him to a mortgage. You know what I mean? Like a really long-term big money contract. And they're willing to, you know, potentially hang on to him. Right. That's, you know, now we know they're trying to rebuild and they're giving away all their guys who are, you know, formerly highly touted, highly, you know, drafted pieces. This makes that process so much more difficult, Matt. And I feel like it's to the advantage of whichever team trades for him that now this is going to be one less draft pick because of the health issue. And you're potentially losing out on the 21-22 season while you wait for this to peter out. So that's one extra year where you're not getting Eichel to play because he's probably going to get that surgery when he gets moved. It's really rough for Buffalo's image. It's really rough for the trade value of Eichel. This is kind of a nightmare scenario. This is Eichel chronicle just spirals further into hell for Buffalo.
Yeah, it's tough to put your finger on this because I think at the end of the day, as a Red Wings fan, I don't want to see Jack here right now. I don't know if that my gut says this does not make sense right now. I don't think Yzerman's ready to sniff that. But then, you know, tomorrow we'll trade for him, and I'll need to change my tune.
Right? We need a center of that. Pretend, you know, when he's healthy, we need a center who's that good. And I mean, he's got such a long contract. He would be here by the time our prospects are ready to be in the NHL. But there's no way. I don't. There's too much to give up, right? We're not giving away NHL ready guys. And, you know, Red Wing first round picks are so valuable right now. I don't see it.
Yeah, and I think just right now, it doesn't look like that's the path that we were on, was that we were hoping, you know, Jack Eichel was going to be in this position, that the Sabres are going to be in this position. Like, that was the only way the Iser plan was going to work. But, I mean, we just talked about in the draft where Yzerman talked about how his draft strategy works is that he has never gone in saying I need to trade up. What he does is he goes pick by pick, sees where guys are available, and figures out when it's going to work. So if the trade worked, I just, at this point, you know, the Eichel agents have made their move. All Buffalo has to do is continue doing what they're doing and just wait for the trade that's going to benefit them most. Like, it's already out there, all of this information. They already suck. Like, they already are the team making this horrible decision. So I honestly, it's probably in their best interest to just continue to play poker and just wait it out and wait for the trade that makes sense. You know, it's probably, the trade offers might get hurt by this for a while, but once the conversation heats up again and the NHL and Kevin Weeks throws out another rumor that he might get traded this week, then they'll start getting more calls again, and then the offers will heat up again, and they'll be the team that absolutely needs Eichel right now to make sure they get their, you know, playoff run and season tickets sold, and boom, there you go. Now you got another trade market. But it might just be one of these things where now the agents have hurt themselves and they might just let everything blow over for a bit and then go back to the trade market for a while. It sucks for Eichel. I'm not prepared to trade for him myself. But yeah, this is terrible. But I did, before we sign off, Mike, because we wanted this to be a short episode.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up, this is kind of funny. Gary Vandekar here in the comments. I haven't been able to jump on your comment yet, Gary, because we brought it up already. You know, he brought up that the filing for arbitration does happen all the time. Like, we were talking about with Tristan, right, but he did bring up, you know, this point that Adam Ernie is a UFA next year. So one year deal and he's gone, which Tristan gave us a little more information on our boy Josh Williams and finished off by saying, I think he's a copy of Ernie, ironically. So this is the best way to wrap up this episode, to give you a little bit more information. I mean, Tristan sees a versatile forward, plays strong, hard-nosed game, has a solid shot. But ultimately, I'm sticking to this point. Mike, how much fun is it to just go, all right, Adam, you get your 1 year. If he says bye-bye, we've got Josh Williams in waiting down in Grand Rapids. If things were to work out,
no
that
pressure.
Way.
Right. No pressure.
Gary, sorry we couldn't get to your comment earlier, but I love that it did wrap into a couple of later comments. Right. And we got one more here before we sign off. I'm guessing, Silver, that you are talking about Jack Eichel, where he's on the pass bus, he's going to let that bus go by. He's going to wait for the next one, which
Yzerman's not jumping into those negotiations until Pete and Pete do another Pete bomb and further drop that value, right?
Right. So. But isn't that funny? Like, why am I more willing to drop 4 first-round picks for Elias Pettersson? Probably because there's you know, analytically a little bit more of a two-game or a two-way game there. But I want to drop 4 first-round picks and pay Pettersson out the B-hole, but I don't want to trade for Jack Eichel while his trade value is dwindling.
We'll see, Matt. Yzerman's sitting there. He's still got that huge chunk of cap. And I'm just trying to double-check and see what we got coming up for 22-23. I mean, what are you going to be giving? Fabry, are you going to be making $6-7 million? I don't think so. Zadina, he's going to get a little bit of a raise up to, you know, probably two or three. All these 30-year-old defensemen coming off the books. I mean, Yzerman, he's just waiting. As soon as these prospects pan out, he's jumping right in and getting whoever he wants. Like, he's going to put that big mortgage offer out there for, you know, some Top Gun guy. He's just waiting to see, all right, is it worth it this season? Nah, we'll do it next year. Nah, we'll get it on the next one. So that's what it looks like as he keeps biding his time with these two-year deals with, you know, guys who are 24, 25, 26, 27. So it's still there, though. Matt, your fantasy could still come to fruition. I was going to bring up one thing, too, before we left. The NBA just had its draft. And I just wanted to point out what a god-awful television experience that is. When the poor people at the desk, you know, for the NBA are often hours behind the news for who's getting picked. As, you know, people like Woj are letting us know not only of trades that are happening hours before the people on, you know, ESPN are saying anything. They know who the draft picks are before they're even made. And it's awful because you're just sitting there waiting for something to come across the teleprompter. And we give the NHL so much grief on this show when it comes to the other major sports. But by God, their NHL draft actually works. Nobody had a goddamn clue who's going in the first round. Those guys were fantastic Las Vegas, like world championship of poker players because nobody knew what was going on. Nothing leaked. I mean, the NBA one was so bad that they showed fan support for certain teams celebrating their pick, only to find out minutes later that the pick had been traded. So there was tons of fans going, oh. We don't even have a pick in the first round. So just want to give the credit NHL where it's due. We give them a lot of grief, and they do a fantastic job of putting together that production of the NHL draft. So bravo.
They just got to hold back on that expansion draft the next time they do one, because that was oof. All right.
I didn't say expansion draft now. Those are two different things. All
right. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Tristan, thank you for the we'll be doing our deep dive now on Josh. And Gary, thanks for coming. Silver, thanks for commenting. Everybody else, don't forget promo code THPN for DraftKings if you guys want to jump in there. And then subscribe, please, to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'll be playing, I guess we probably got some wrestling and hockey games coming out. We'll be playing on our Twitch, which is also Brothers Discussion. It's at BOD Hockey for all of our Red Wings coverage on Twitter and at Brothers_of_discussion on Instagram. All right, Mike, this is a wonderful 15-minute, 38-minute show. And we came in, we're going to do 15 minutes, and here we go, 40 minutes later. All right, thanks, everybody. See ya.